Morgan Tyree remembers learning a lot about hospitality and about being a good neighbor from the example of another family she knew.
They would pull a campfire outdoor kind of fire pit out in their driveway and just bring a bunch of s'more stuff. And then if people were out on their evening walks or just happened to be passing by, they'd invite them to come and have a s'more, make a s'more. And so that to me just is simple. It doesn't really require much effort. And it's also just reaching out to your neighbors, which I think we need to do more of too.
This is Family Life Today for Friday, April 9th. Our hosts are David Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. Maybe s'mores in the front yard is not your thing, not the way for you guys to do hospitality, but there is a way, and we'll talk about some of those options today. Stay with us. Welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. If you guys don't have any plans tomorrow night, Marianne and I would want to see if you guys would like to come over for dinner. We'd love to have you over to the house.
He's feeling guilty now.
I know.
I'm not feeling guilty at all.
Because he just read a spectacular book.
I just want to ask, have you asked Marianne this?
I texted her and I haven't heard back yet. I think she put it on mute when she got the text. But no, we'd love to have you over for dinner if you're not doing anything. You guys talk about it and let me know, okay?
Okay.
Whatever works out best for
this
you.
This is very much like you. He's asking us as we're doing our interview.
What's that mean, honey?
Dave usually asks me the most pertinent and unknown questions when we're on stage speaking together.
I've been known to do that.
Or he bears the essence of his soul in front of thousands.
It's just like, you've never told me this in our family room.
One of the things we are talking about this week is hospitality. And Morgan Tyree is joining us to talk about this. Morgan, welcome back.
Thank you.
Morgan has written a very
interesting... You know what I was just thinking about? What? It's like Jesus is in the room, and so you're just playing up to her, you know? The queen of hospitality is sitting right here, and you're like, hey, do you want to come over tomorrow night? He's never asked us that, ever, until today.
Morgan is a blogger. She's written a book called Your Hospitality Personality. She is apparently the queen of hospitality, as Dave just said, and everybody who's around her just has to kind of...
up our game.
We do up our game. Did you take the test? Because there's a test in your book,
correct,
right?
Correct, yes.
And it helps you determine which is your hospitality personality, which I think is a fascinating concept that we're not all wired the same when it comes to hospitality. You haven't taken the test?
No, I haven't.
And by the way, this is on your website. We've got a link at familylifetoday.com if somebody wants to see what their hospitality
and
personality
is. And it's in her book,
too. That's right. Mm-hmm. But
as you read her...
Wait. Bob's going to get to something.
That's
Don't
okay.
cut him off.
No, he can interrupt me. I'm very open to that.
He's such a hospitable guy.
I want him to feel comfortable and relaxed with whatever he's thinking. Go ahead, Dave.
I mean, when you look at the four hospitality personalities.
And we ought to explain what those are. What are those again?
Yeah.
So there's the leader, also known as the director, the entertainer, the includer, and the organizer.
So the leader's the person who says, I'm in charge of things.
Correct.
The entertainer is say, we'll all have fun.
Yeah.
The includer is looking around and saying, we want to make sure that everybody is happy. And the organizer is going, we don't have enough paper plates.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I think I got this figured out.
Perfect. Yeah. Yes.
That's right.
So you hear that.
Right.
And you sort of self-test yourself. What are you?
I'm probably a mix of leader-entertainer. I think I'm probably going to be more on the entertainer side, although I think I know what makes a better party than you do, so I should be in charge of it, too. So I should be in charge, and then I should entertain you when you come.
Wow.
That's what I think. Does that sound like me to you?
I think that does. And Bob's really good. You're really good with drawing people out, asking questions, you've been doing this professionally
for
a long time.
Which you're really good at as well. Are you an entertainer, you think?
I think so. But Dave is such a... Dave
Here
is
comes.
A higher
Here
entertainer,
comes.
And so I'm always trying to shift to find my place.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm asking a lot of questions, and Dave's telling a lot of stories.
I'm guessing you are also an includer
that you're looking around and going,
I do that.
I want to make sure everybody, like if somebody hasn't been asked a question or drawn into the conversation, you're going
to
bring them
and
in.
And I'll think, Dave, you need to be quiet now and you need to ask someone else a question because that person hasn't talked all night.
I'm not going to say another word the rest of the day.
Who's the planner between the two of you? Is there a planner?
Neither one.
No, I mean, Anne has to end up being the planner, which is where we get into conflicts, really.
Because I don't think I'm very good at it.
And here's the other thing, Morgan, it'd be interesting to hear this, because when we do have people, I'm okay, I wonder if Bob's like this, to just talk about nothing.
Sure. Yeah.
Just enjoy and laugh and talk about sports or whatever. And it's going to be frustrating if we don't go somewhere. Like, let's get a little deeper. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
You know, knowing ourselves and also knowing what our guests need from us, or maybe knowing their background or anything we can know ahead of time can help us know how to navigate what we do when we're in the moment.
So if you're an includer, and what is your husband?
So, well, I'm a primary organizer, secondary includer, yes. So he's an entertainer. And so
how does that work together? Tell me what an evening would look like.
Me doing all the details.
Do you ever get resentful of that?
I mean, by the way,
I shouldn't say that. Yeah.
You have like a degree in organizing, right?
Well, a business degree, but I've been organizing since I was young.
I mean,
you know?
Tell them what your website is. Morganize with me.
That's right. Come along. Cute. Let's get it organized. Yeah. So I'm a planner. I'm detailed. And actually, he is really hands-on and he's a cook too. But what's funny is that he is very focused on getting the right playlist together. And I would never, I'm like, why do we need music? We need to get the ice or whatever it is, you know, and he's over there because, you know, he's more outgoing and entertaining and all those things. And there's a story I share in the book. This is just the best synopsis of us is we were at a work Christmas party and he loves to dance, which I do too, but he's at another level. And he starts doing like a Michael Jackson whole thing.
Thriller.
And like, I think we're supposed to be dancing together and like, it's apparently like, I can't match that. And so I just slip back. I move away. I find a seat. He continues on. So, you know, well, of course he doesn't mind. Entertainers are like, bring it. Yeah. And what I like is that I think I was attracted to that because it softens me. Mm-hmm. I never have to worry about the conversation being kept alive because he could talk to anyone all day long, right? And I can converse too, but I think we've really fine-tuned sort of how we host together. And we do have to have conversations around how much, because my threshold might be a little more or less than his, we'll say. So, but I do think we overall complement each other pretty nicely.
I just want to note, did anybody get at the end of the evening and say to you at the door as they're leaving, I loved your playlist?
I've never had anyone say that. Usually it's too loud, too. He just plays it like
you
always.
Two, you guys are clones. This sounds like our marriage. She keeps pointing at me.
Yeah, but well, we're talking or even having this conversation, and Dave's listening to the music.
Right.
And he's banging on the table, like he's beating it, you know, as people are talking, and I'm like, shh, don't hit the table. It seems like you're not listening to them.
Seems like you're in another place right now.
But the good thing is it sounds like you have been able to celebrate each other's roles and differences.
I agree. And I think it actually has really helped us host more. And we lived overseas for 3.5 years. And there was a span where we had house guests for months. I want to say it felt like 4 or 5 months. And it was so enjoyable. We had the right layout for it. But again, I think our personalities really complement each other. And I think that's what I want to encourage people to do is if you're hosting with a friend or a spouse, to look for someone that can help complement you if there's areas that are less natural for you, because it will only build your confidence and help you hopefully enjoy the time more. And when you're enjoying yourself more, you're going to have more to give to the people that you're celebrating with.
And it's interesting, like this is a spiritual gift. Mm-hmm. Like I'm thinking of 1 Peter 4:9-11. It says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we always look at hospitality as a spiritual gift. Mm-hmm. Like this is serving.
Yeah.
This is loving. This is something Jesus would do.
Absolutely.
Well, it also sounds like, though, if you call it a gift, you can say, I don't have that gift. You know, like evangelism is a gift, and yet we're all called as followers of Christ to be evangelists. Mm-hmm. I may not think I have the gift of hospitality, but I'm called to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And I can. Mm-hmm. True?
Well, yes, because it says whatever gift you have received to serve others. So I think that speaks to we all have gifts to give to others and how we show up for others.
Well, and it goes on to say, the one who speaks, let him speak. The one who serves, let him serve. I'm thinking of hospitality, where speaking and serving are going to be going on throughout the evening.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you're using your gifts in that environment. I'm thinking, when I was growing up, if my parents had somebody over for dinner, it was typically somebody who, I think the idea was having them over might help with the work scenario. You know, we'll have this person over, we'll do a nice meal, I'll impress the boss, I'll get the promotion. So there was a self-serving motivation for having people over into your home. I'm not saying that's all my parents ever did, but I think it was more culturally the idea that if you want to get ahead in the workplace, you better have somebody, have the boss over for dinner and show him that your wife's a great cook. I don't know what that had to do anything, right?
But,
but what we're saying is that there is a motivation for hospitality that is an other-focused motivation, an other-centered motivation that is a ministry-oriented motivation where we are going to speak and serve and love and grow in community and grow in concern and care for one another, where it's not about me trying to impress you, it's about me trying to care for you.
And love you.
Yeah,
and I love that it's included in the spiritual gifts because it's a way to bring glory to God. It's a way to create healthiness in the body of Christ and community in the body of Christ. You also talk about hospitality habits in our setting being an open or closed home. What does that mean?
Well, I broke down, there's different seasons, I think, where sometimes you may need to have more of a closed home or more of an open home, and even just within your own personal style or personality. And so an open home is going to be, I share in the book, like we're in a season where that's very much what's happening with teenagers coming and going. We've tried to really create a home that says we're open. We want you teenagers in here. We want your messes. We want you eating from our fridge. You know, we want our home to be a place that's just a place they can come and drop by.
So that's an open home.
Yeah, so open home, and not that you have to have a revolving door with an open home, but an open home says, I want people in my home. I want them over. Where a closed home would be maybe if you're in a season where, you know, if you've had really young children and you're just exhausted or you are in a big life transition, just being really aware of if you're ready to open your home, is it the right season of life for you? There is times where maybe if you're going through a crisis, having more of a closed home for your own health and well-being is okay too.
So as you talk about whether your home is open or closed, if you have kids that are, let's say even teenagers or 10-year-olds, is that a conversation you have as a family? Are you drawing your kids into this?
Oh, I think that's a really good idea, and especially also knowing your kids, kind of what their personalities are and what they want, because some kids are going to be more prone. I know this in my own home. Some are more prone to bring in all the people, and then I have another child who's like, I hardly see his friends. You know, so knowing your kids, but communicating to them what you want your house to be.
Kind of a vision. You're casting a vision.
Yes, exactly. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, how we view hospitality as children or what we grow up in, we will tend to carry forward. So I do think it's important for parents to think of, how do I model hospitality and how do I use my home?
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, the question would be, you know, open home. When I hear that term right now during a pandemic, I'm like, oh, we're not allowed to.
We're all closed.
We have to be careful.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you practice hospitality in the middle of a pandemic?
I know I did not plan to write about social distancing and staying 6 feet apart, so it's definitely new territory. But I think what's interesting about the new limitations is that it's showing how much we need connection and community. The virtual things that have taken off, the ways people are still creatively finding ways to connect. So I would say with the limitations we have, dial up your creativity, you know, get creative. I think that using technology as a tool is a great tool, and just showing up for people, whether that's virtually or dropping something up on their doorstep, there's a lot we can do safely still. I think it goes back to just remembering people and saying, I see you and I know you. And also acts of service, great time. If you live in a snowy climate, maybe be the best, you know, show snuggler on your street. And again, that can be secret hospitality, which I think is really fun too.
Well, it's interesting in your five sort of hospitality habits. Mm-hmm. We just talked about the first one, setting, mm-hmm. open or closed home. Second one you call scheduling, mm-hmm. planning or spontaneity. Yeah. The other day, some of our friends who we've been friends and they lived in our neighborhood for, 25 years? Mm-hmm. They just decided last year God's calling them to move to Atlanta. God did not call them away from us, but I guess they thought he did. But anyway, we got a text Saturday and said, hey, how about a date tonight? Mm. Like, what? Let's just get on Zoom. Mm-hmm. Let's hang out. And mm-hmm. we did. We sat on our couch. They sat on theirs.
For a couple hours.
So that was a planned.
Yes.
So talk about that, because we're not greatest planners in the world. We're mm-hmm. more spontaneous, but mm-hmm. there's both, right? And how does that work?
Yeah, so I talk about it being on a continuum, you know, one on one end, one on the other. And I think there's a place for both. And I think it's important to tap into scheduling intentionally at times. And this is, again, assuming we can gather or what have you. But it can be really common to kind of say to yourself, oh, we need to have so-and-so over. Oh, I need to make sure and do that. But it remains a thought and not a planned activity. So I would just say if you're working on being more intentional with hospitality, scheduling it can be very helpful. But then also don't miss those spontaneous opportunities as well.
Yeah, and you even mentioned your kids. They're wired totally different that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
I mean, one runs out the door and can't find their shoes. Yes. I mean, we all have that. Some of it's mm-hmm. inbred. And let me ask you this, because mm-hmm. we haven't even talked about it. It's one of your five S's, extrovert, introvert. Because mm-hmm. it could be easy to think hospital people are always extroverts, mm-hmm. non-hospitable or introverts. Is that true? Is that connected?
Well, I think extroverts, you know, they gain energy by being around people. So a lot of times we may think that they're the real natural hosting types, but introverts have a real strength in connecting one-on-one and being very other-centered and being very focused on people. So again, just really knowing how you're hardwired, how you respond in social situations can be really helpful to know what size of group maybe you feel the most comfortable in, and then also whoever you're hosting with, considering that too. Because I know for myself, being more introverted, I've really realized I can do better as far as showing up and really being authentic with people if it's the right size of group, or I should say a smaller size group for me. Just because if it's a table of 8 to 10 people, I'll just sort of become quieter, you know, just by my natural personality.
I like that you gave some illustrations, too, of even planning spontaneity. Mm-hmm. You talk about your friends, April and Abby. Mm-hmm. Tell the listeners what they did.
Yeah, I love their idea. So they will, in the summer times, and again, this is when things were not restrictive, but they would pull a campfire outdoor kind of fire pit out in their driveway and just bring a bunch of s'more stuff. And then if people were out on their evening walks or just happened to be passing by, they'd invite them to come and have a s'more, make a s'more. And so that to me just is simple. It doesn't really require much effort. And it's also just reaching out to your neighbors, which I think we need to do more of too.
Yeah, we were walking a couple months ago when it was warm mm-hmm. in Michigan. And this happened several times. One of our neighbors has younger kids. We don't even know them that well. They're quite a ways down. And I think about every Friday night, they put a projector screen in their yard. And we were walking by and they're showing Frozen. And half the neighborhood with little kids are there.
Yeah.
And these are people they don't even say you know, it isn't an invite only. Anybody can show up.
The families are distanced mm-hmm. from one another.
Yeah.
And they all bring their own snacks, and they all bring their own lawn chairs. But it was really cool just to see that it was something that was intentional, mm-hmm. but it had become this habit now mm-hmm. of every Friday night. There mm-hmm. they are, most of the kids in the neighborhood. What a great thing to look forward to for them.
Mm-hmm. I got to be honest. I read this story about the woman coming and braiding your hair in the hospital, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's going too far. Of course, I have no hair to braid, but, you know— Tell us what that meant. I mean, what was that about?
Well, it's interesting. That has been a story that I've had many, many people comment on, that's what really touched them. It's interesting what resonates with people. Hmm. So Jamie is a good friend of mine, and when we started our family, we were living away, so I didn't have family or friends nearby or anyone close. And I had my second child, and she came to the hospital and was just showing up. And she'd also watched our daughter while we were in the hospital. She was just there for everything. But she offered to braid my hair, which I can be a little more of a private, reserved person. And it felt vulnerable because I was like, oh, okay. And I have two sisters, but, you know, she's a friend. And I let her. And it just there's so much love and care that swept over me because she just was sensing as another young mom, you know, she's just trying to be there for me and just care for me and love on me. I just love that example that it didn't take her much effort or planning. She just was there for me. And then to hear people be touched by that story, people that have hair, no, I'm just kidding. You know, it's beautiful because I think it made me feel known in this sense, like she just wanted to be there for me. And she was stepping in for my sisters in a sense, or my mom. Mm-hmm.
I think that's so sweet. And it's mm-hmm. vulnerable on
yes.
her part too.
Yes.
Because to ask and be in, it could be awkward.
Right.
But I love that. Even I remember last Christmas, of course, everything feels so different with COVID because mm-hmm. now I'm thinking, I would never do that. I remember, you know, the Salvation Army bell ringers.
Yeah.
And I just had this sense that I saw this person. And I thought, God is so delighted with her. Mm-hmm. And I had this sense that I should just hug her mm-hmm. and thank her. Like, look at you doing this. You're out here and it's freezing in yeah. Michigan. And I just had this sense of God pulling me to really notice her and see her. And so then I go into this dialogue with God, like, okay, I'm not going to hug her. That's weird. You know, and she'll think I'm weird. And but I had that sense, and I did end up going to talk to her. But I loved that connection with God of God, how can I love people? How can I see people? How can I minister to people? Mm-hmm. And I'm so passionate about bringing our kids into that.
Yeah.
Like to talk to our kids, you guys, how can we love people today? Mm-hmm. And even putting eyes on them of saying, Jesus, help us to see people today. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking like, Dave hates this because I'm always wanting to give money away, of course. And like to give your kids $5 and mm-hmm. say, just let's just pray this week mm-hmm. or today as we go into the mall. Like, is there anyone that God just puts on your heart mm-hmm. to give something to or to say something to?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think here's the point. Hospitality, we tend to think of it as an activity.
Yeah. Mm.
It's really a heart orientation.
Yeah.
It's living life with a perspective that says, I need to be aware of who God has in my path,
right.
in my neighborhood, around me. Who are the people who I could touch and care for and minister to?
It's a lifestyle.
Whether it's yeah. walking by the way or having them over for dinner or braiding their hair or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I want to real quickly see if I can just get Marianne in here on the conversation for just a second. Find out about dinner tomorrow night and see if this is going to work. Hang on, let me make this call here.
People, this is what not to do to your wife.
I love it.
You think this is a bad idea?
You're really calling Marianne right now.
Well, we'll see if she picks up, you know. She's probably going, I'm not picking up. I know
she
what you're calling.
She knows you.
You're calling because you texted me about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says call back. Okay, I get it. Okay.
What did you text her?
I texted her and said, what do you think about having the Wilsons over for dinner tomorrow night?
I want you to know, Bob, that Dave has never mentioned anything about having dinner with you guys.
She said, I would love to. And then she just texted back and said, brownies and peppermint chocolate chip ice cream. That's as far as I've gotten, but it's the best part of the meal. So it looks like she's moving ahead with this. There we go.
You know, Bob, you're the most hospitable person I've ever known.
Oh, aren't
thank you
sweet?
I appreciate that.
It's because I read the book, The Hospitality Person. Morgan, thank you. Thanks for being here, and thanks for helping walk mm-hmm. us through all of this. Hopefully, in the midst of all of this, every one of us has said, okay, I need to get out of myself a little bit more and just be alert to the people around me and think, how can I express God's love to them through me? Thank you for this.
Yeah, thank you.
We mentioned the quiz, which is available online. You can go to our website, familylifetoday.com, for more information on how you can take the Hospitality Personality Quiz. And we're making your book, Your Hospitality Personality, available to Family Life Today listeners today. Those of you who want to support the ongoing work of this ministry, you want to vote in favor of what Family Life Today is all about, practical biblical help and hope for marriages and families so that we effectively develop godly marriages and families who change the world one home at a time. When you make a donation today to help extend the reach of this ministry, we will send you a copy of Morgan Tyree's book, Your Hospitality Personality, as our thank you gift. The subtitle is How to Confidently Create Connection and Community. Go online at familylifetoday.com to donate or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to donate. Either way, be sure to ask for your copy of Morgan's book when you make a donation. Again, the website is familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-358-6329 to donate. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And with that, we got to wrap things up for today. Thanks for being with us. Hope you have a great weekend. I hope you and your family are able to join together with your brothers and sisters and worship this weekend in your local church. And I hope you can join us back on Monday when we're going to talk about how we can push each other's buttons in marriage and how we could just be aware of the fact that we're doing that and maybe do it a little less or not get triggered when it happens. Guy and Amber Leo will be here to talk about that with us. We hope you can be here as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch. Got some extra help today from Bruce Goff. And of course, our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We will see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.